All right, so let's begin. So I wanna begin a limud over the next couple of weeks, focusing a little bit on the concept of tshuva. As they say, this is the season, right? So, but to focus a little bit on some of the fundamental yisodas, some of the fundamental concepts of tshuva, not necessarily taking it from a vantage point of like the Rambam. You know, the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva discusses the mechanism through which a person performs tshuva. To kind of focus on the concept of tshuva a little bit more from a philosophical or conceptual perspective, to understand what it is that this process entails, not necessarily on a mechanistic or even on a behavioral level, but first almost on an emotional, spiritual, cognitive level. What does tshuva mean? So for this journey, we're going to use an incredible sefer called Bilvavi Mishkan Evne. And that it's a multi-volume series on various different things. And he happens to have, it's a short section. Amir Tashem will get through it over the course of the next two, three shiurim. But there's a section on tshuva. So with that, let's begin in paragraph Aleph. Kasaf Harif. So he's quoting over here from the Rabbeinu Yonah. So Rabbeinu Yonah Shari Tshuva has one of the fundamental svarim on tshuva. So he quotes here from the Shari Tshuva. The Shari Tshuva writes, he says, quotes over here in Parak Aleph, Zeloshono, da, ki mi asher chata al derech mikra. If somebody sins al derech mikra means not an intentional, not habitual sinner, but rather again, mikra, it occurs. Person sins, what's the right word? Going to say recreationally, but that's not the right word, right? A person is b'derech mikra, happenstance, right? It's not a kavua thing. It's not something I do, not premeditated, or it might even be premeditated, but I don't do it all the time. Or it's not derech mikra. It's sometimes things happen. So a person who sins derech mikra, ki ataiva taiva v'chazek alav yitzro v'iskafeu v'lo nechlutzu ra'ayona v'chusha v'pegavo. So sometimes a person sins, why? Simply because the yitzhara gets the best of them. So it happens. Again, I had a moment of weakness. I got a little bit overwhelmed by my desires, and I fell prey to them. And as a result, I sinned. Okay. So the Rabbeinu Yonah writes, for that type of person, what happens? Reishis tshuvas ha'ish hazeh ha'charato. So for this type of person, who kind of, what we'll call, fell into the net of sin, because in this particular moment he was unable to fight off his wants or his desires, the first step for tshuva for this person is charata, is remorse. That's the first step, remorse. Now, of course, this already is interesting, right? Because the Rabbeinu Yonah is saying a little bit different than, Shalom Aleichem, there should be sheets, right? You can come up front. You don't have to sit. You don't have to sit in the back of us. There's plenty of room up here. So this is a little bit different. I just want to contrast. According to the Rambam, what's the first step in tshuva? According to the Rambam, is hakara sachet, a recognition of the sin. Interestingly enough, says the Rabbeinu Yonah, the first step in tshuva is charata, is remorse. Now, the truth is not really arguing. The Rabbeinu Yonah doesn't feel the need to articulate hakara sachet, recognition of the sin, for one simple reason. Of course, you have to have recognition of the sin. Otherwise, what? Right. There's no remorse, right? It's interesting. The Rambam is the one who spells it out for a variety of different reasons. The Rabbeinu Yonah doesn't explicitly say it, but it's understood. Of course, there has to first be recognition of sin in order for there to be tshuva. That's the first part. So, reishis tshuva le'ish hazeh hacharat. He says, uvelasim yagon belibo al chataso. And a person should feel a sense of mourning, a sense of sadness over the sin that he has committed. So this is the first person. So first person who sinned, Rabbeinu Yonah is going to break it up into two different models. He calls chatal derech mikra. This person is not a habitual sinner. It just happened to be, I had a moment of weakness, I had a lapse, and I sinned. What's the first step in my tshuva? Charata. Remorse. But then there's another category. Avala ish hamisyatsev al derech lo tova tamid. Very interesting. But a person, listen to this lashon, hamisyatsev al derech lo tova tamid, which means a person, misyatsev literally means like settles down on the negative path. So this is what we would call who? What kind of person? A habitual offender. Right? This is a habitual offender. This is a person who over, and it's not just a lapse, not just a moment of weakness. This is something that I am engaging in in whatever degree of frequency, but clearly, again, unfortunately, it's habitual. And such a person, unfortunately, keeps on repeating the same mistake over and over and over. Reishis tshuvas ha'ish hazeh. For this person, what's the first step in his tshuva? La'azov darko u'machshav tohara. For this person, the first step in his tshuva is to what? To leave darko, his pathway, u'machshavto, and his mindset, hara, that are negative. So you understand what the Rabbi Yonah just said. Two different types of sinners and two different types of tshuva. Two different types of tshuva. For the mikra sinner, but we still didn't come up with a good English word for this. For the infrequent sinner, it doesn't sound right, but occasional sinner. Yeah, casual sinner, right? Casual sinner. Although you can be a casual sinner and a habitual sinner also. This is the, what was the word used? Occasional, right? Infrequent. For the occasional sinner. Mikra for the occasional sinner. So the Rabbeinu Yonah says, his first step in Shuvah is charat, is remorse. If a person is a habitual offender, that requires a different type of Shuvah. If I'm a habitual offender, Shuvah starts ultimately with what? La'azov dargo, to leave, and we're just going to translate his words now, to leave my derech, to leave my way, u'machshav tohara, and my negative thoughts. So an incredible, incredible yisod for the occasional sinner. So ultimately, again, he has to go ahead and have remorse, because without remorse, there's no change. Right? Without remorse, there's no change. But see, no, remorse is also very interesting on a variety of different levels. You know, the Rambam writes, the Gemara discusses that there are certain people who don't have a chilek in Olam Haba, a portion of the world to come. Among them, the Gemara says, the Mesachik Bokuvio. Someone who's a gambler, but like you're talking about somebody like that's how he makes his living, just a professional gambler. The Gemara says, why not? He does nothing to contribute to the fabric of society. So the Rambam says, so if you're mesachik b'kuvio, if you're a gambler, how do you do tshuva? So what's the answer? Yishaber kubiosav. You have to break your dice. So the Rambam says, Rabbi Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, says, I don't understand. Why do you have to break the dice? Why do you have to break the dice? Put them on a shelf, give them to a friend. Why do you have to break them? So Rabbi Soloveitchik says something amazing. He says, those dice represent my connection to a world that is not good. As long as those dice are in existence, I am still connected to that world. That's what the Rabbi Yonah is describing here as well. If I'm a habitual offender, this is not just about remorse. This is not just about feeling bad. If I'm a habitual offender, then by definition, something much more profound has to occur. It's not, there's a derech, there's a way of life that has to change. There's a mindset that has to change. There is a profound, cathartic change that has to occur. So we're going to use this section of the Rabbeinu Yonah ultimately as a springboard for a more global discussion. Take a look at paragraph base. Rabbeinu Yonah b'dvarav, diber b'nekudah chitzonis. Rabbi said, please, if anyone, this is not the... called it a chabura, so that we're amongst chaverim. So if anyone has anything to add or a question, yes. But even situational means I sin in a particular situation. That could be habitual, right? If I'm placed in the same, no, yeah. Again, I think we're going to go with the word occasional, even though we know it's not really the right word. But again, it's the opposite of a habitual offender. So whatever the opposite of a habitual offender is...
You could just really quickly, you could also... The Rabbeinu Yonah does not use the word ta'ava in the second category. So, you know, you could say that the second category is a person who would... The b'chet, whatever it is, has become a way of life as opposed to a desire.
Excellent, right? If you notice again, and we're going to get into this in a little bit, you're going to see that Rabbeinu Yonah makes a distinction between someone who falls prey to his desire. That happens to everyone at some point in life in some area. The second category, excellent, there's no discussion of desire. This is something much more systemic, right? Everybody has a moment where they fall prey to some desire, something in life. Correct. In the category number two, there's something much more profound that's unfolding over here. So look what he says. Rabbeinu Yonah, paragraph base. Rabbeinu Yonah b'dvarov, diber b'nekuda hachitzonis. Asiyas averes chas v'shalom. Ulam, hein hein hadvarah m'nekuda hapnimis. Remember again, Rabbeinu Yonah is actually delving into the kishkas, or the dynamic, the, we'll call it, the psychology of sin. What he's really focusing on is the externalities, that essentially he's grouping people who commit averos into two categories, the occasional sinners, the habitual sinners, and explaining two different forms of tshuva for each. But says the Mechaber here, in reality, there's something much deeper. Nifarish, yesh adam, shekalmasa mikusham nakadosh baruch hu. There's such a profound paragraph. There are some people who all of their actions are connected to Hashem. Right? Everything they do, they experience a sense of connection. Ulam, yesh prat b'chayiv, shebe prat zeh, nishkach mimenu hiskashus labore. So listen to this. So first, the different kinds of people. Some people feel a profound sense of connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in their life. And in various areas, they're connected. It just happens to be that what? Maybe they have an area in which they don't feel connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So who is this describing? Person who's a really good Jew. I'm a really good person. I try really hard. And let's say in 9 out of 10 things in life, I'm connected. I'm doing HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. I have a weak spot. And in that area, my connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not as strong. How does that manifest itself? I sin. And I commit Navera. So I'm good in the other 9 areas of life because there, my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that area is strong. I sin in the 10th because my connection is a bit weak. So how do you remedy that? People say, what? So no, how do you fix that if I were to ask you? What do you do? You make it stronger. So a simple idea. I'm good with Shabbos. Yeah. Oh, so you're saying chet doesn't happen in a vacuum. There are often triggers. So when the triggers aren't there, my relationship is strong. Hold on. We have a couple of pages, right? And boxing a couple of weeks till Yom No Rai. Good. Right now, what we're going to do is we're going to create almost like the abstract framework. Then, of course, the real level, the heavy lifting comes when you have to plug it into something. But listen to this simple idea. So let's say, again, in my life, I'm good with Shabbos. I'm good with Taras HaMishpacha. I'm good with Kashrus. Lashon Hara is my thing. I mean, my thing in that I speak a lot of it, right? That's right. Lashon Hara is my thing. So what does that say about me? So what, does that mean I'm a godless person? No, Chas V'Shalom. In all of the other categories, I'm solid, I'm good. It's just clearly my relationship with God in this area of Lashon Hara is weak and deficient. So I know what I have to do. I have to somehow bolster my relationship with God in this one defined area. The relationship is strong everywhere else. Here it's weak, here we have to. How I do that, that's not our discussion right now. But I know what it is that I have to do. But watch this. I'm going to say this is incredible. Ulam. I'm in paragraph Bays, 4 lines in. Ulam. Yesh Adam. Sha'afa pi sheshomer es kol ha-Torah v'ha-mitzvos. Mikol makom. Chaser lo es kol ha-pnimiyus ha-Torah. Listen to how profound this is. But there's another person. And this person, he keeps the entire Torah. But what? He has no feeling. I go through the motions. I do everything I'm supposed to do. I don't feel anything. Like, again, not that I don't feel anything, that I'm angry, I don't like God, I'm not interested in God. No, I'm going to do whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks of me. I feel nothing on the inside. Ein lo kol pnimiyus haTorah. Ein lo bahem ava. The truth is, I don't have any deep love for Yiddishkeit. Ein lo bahem simcha kidibai. It doesn't make me happy. I do it out of a sense of obligation, but it doesn't make me happy. Ve'ein hu margish hiskashrus nafshis laKadosh Baruch Hu. And the truth is, I feel absolutely no spiritual connection to God. Lo b'shem haShemayim. Ein hu chash kesher shel av ubein beino shel laKadosh Baruch Hu. I feel no connection. I feel like I'm supposed to say, you hear what the Mechaber is describing? I just want to point out, this, what he's describing over here, this second category, this is the challenge of our generation. Right? It used to be that the challenge for the Jew is observance. Right? You go back 2 generations, right? Especially after the war, many immigrants came here. So that was the great challenge. Can you make a parnasa and observe Shabbos? That's not our challenge anymore. You could be a Shomer Shabbos, you could do anything you want. The challenge of our generation is a fundamental lack of inspiration, a lack of connection, a lack of pneumius, a lack of feeling. We're behaviorally observant. I know exactly what I have to do. And remember again, we have more knowledge now than previous generations ever had access to. So I know the Lama Tes Melachos. I know how to keep Shabbos. I know how to do it. Do I feel it? No, I'm not angry, right? It's fine. I love God. God's great. But I feel absolutely no connection in anything that I'm doing. The behaviors are there. The mechanistic aspects are there. But the panemius, the inside, the passion, the love, the connection, the feeling that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is my father and I'm his son, not there. Fundamentally absent. So Adam Zev. So we'll say, so here's what's interesting. So remember again, the first category is much easier to address. Remember again, who's our first category guy? Who's our first category guy? What's his problem? He has a weakness in a particular area. Okay? He's good. 8 out of 10 things he's good. 2 things he struggles with. Fine, so what's his avoda? What's his avoda? Focus. Do better. Focus. We got to figure out a strategy to connect you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the areas you're disconnected. With our man number 2 over here, his situation is much more complicated. Here, I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing. But on the inside, I've flatlined. In the inside, there's nothing there. There's no connection. There's no spark. So look at the Mechaberites. Adam Zeh, this person, called Darko, Einol Derech Nechona. See, Rabosai, what individual number 2 has a problem with is not a particular mitzvah, not a particular behavioral or spiritual aspect of Yiddishkeit. His Derech is wrong. Whatever he's doing, the path that he's on, is incorrect. This is not the right. When you feel nothing, when you're disconnected in every way, even though you're going through the motions or doing the behaviors, the derech I'm on, is fundamentally wrong. Kol darko ino derech nechona, hu minutak mina mahus ha'amiti shel ha'chaim. I'm disconnected from the fundamental essence of life. Mina mahus ha'amitis shel ma'anahu nivra. Why were we created? We were created ultimately for what purpose? To be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not as a slave to a master, but to be able to develop a beautiful and loving connection like a father and a son. Like ultimately, again, like a connection with the king and his followers, like a shepherd and his flock. Ulekach, Eitzel Adam min hasug hazeh, Ein dai ba'asiyas tshuva, Ay dihakpada nosefes. For this type of person, to take on an extra thing or to focus on a particular mitzvah, that's not going to help. Ella, hu muchrach lishanos es kol gishas halachayim. This person, mamish, has to change his entire approach to life. My whole approach to life has to change. What does that mean? Hu chayiv lotes min achitzonios ulikanis la'olam shel iskashrus limisha'amar v'haya olam. I have to rework my life. I have to reorient myself. There's something that's fundamentally broken. There's something that's fundamentally misfiring in my existence, and I need to recreate my world. Somebody who does not feel a deep and profound love and passion for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mishelo margish ga'aguin la'aviv. Someone who doesn't feel a yearning, a pining for his father. Yada. Shadayin Darko Eino Yishar Lagamre. I know that there's something fundamentally broken in my path. But I very profound. You see, person number 1, his life is much easier. Why is his life much easier? Why? Because he knows exactly what he has to do. I like Lashon Hara. It's my bumper sticker. I like Lashon Hara. So I know what my problem is. And okay, great, I know what I have to do. And even if I don't know exactly what I have to do, I know what eitzes I have to look for. I know which direction, which kivun I have to go down. In category number 2, I will say, this is amazing. See, here's what's fascinating. In category number 2, is this individual sinning? Is this individual sinning? He's not sinning. Right? I'm doing everything fine. What's missing? The spark, the feeling, the relationship. And here's the incredible novelty. Who's in bigger trouble? Who's in bigger trouble? The second guy. Because listen to this. Because he's... Number 1, he might not know what his problem is. Number 2, the lack of connection indicates there's not just a problem with the behavior. See, guy number one, I know what my problem is. Okay, you want to get me on the on the 12th of Lashon Hara. I was going to say, you want to get me on the psychologist couch and you could ask me, why do you have to speak Lashon Hara? Why do you make yourself feel better by putting other people down? Okay, so we can go through the psychology of that. Low self-esteem, low self-worth, whatever it might be. There might be layers and layers to that. But I know what the issue is. The second guy, who on a technical level is not actually committing an Avera, meaning, if you look at the balance sheet, Yaakov, that was in honor of you, the balance sheet. Right? If you look at the balance sheet, ultimately, again, of... I have to refresh my accounting knowledge. Oh, Daniel, you also what I'm talking about. Right? The two accountants, thank you. Right? So it's fascinating. The second guy, at the end of the day, if you look at his spiritual balance sheet, right, he's in great shape when you look at his life on paper because he's not sinning. I haven't committed an Avera, but he's dead on the inside. He feels nothing. It's a big spiritual flat line. And when you look at those two people, you say, oh my gosh, guy number one, you know what your avoda is. Guy number two, we know what your avoda is also, but your avoda is a systemic avoda. There's something fundamentally broken in you, or broken in your life, or broken in your approach, or broken in your outlook that's causing you this. Yes?
It's like the connection that I made just doing the work that I do, that when I'm working with the students and doing cognitive behavioral therapy, that there's thoughts, feeling, behavior. The second guy, you're saying you have to change your feeling, whereas the first guy, you're saying you have to change your behavior, which is easier?
Well, I would say like this. It may be that the second guy has to change his behaviors also. Right? When he talks about changing your derech, remember, we don't know what derech means yet. Derech just means your path. You're Philip's saying, good, what does the path entail? Is it a behavioral change? Is it a cognitive change? Does he have to go to therapy? You know, who knows? We don't know. All we know is like this, that when the Mechaber says he has to change his derech, that means there's something systemic. There's something systemic. There's something that's happening systemically when I feel dead on the inside. And I think Rav Ossai, what I found very gripping about this, you know, it's funny, I've had this set of sermon for a very long time, and I actually thought I lost it, which tells you how long I haven't learned it. Right? So, and then I found it, and the truth is, like, he has incredibly simple but yet incredibly profound novel ideas. I think what's truly amazing about this, Ossai, is we often use behavior as the metric of success for Yiddishkeit. So if I'm doing behaviorally great in all areas, just deficient in one, that's an A. You get an A from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You really do get an A from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even if you're doing great in seven and deficient in three, maybe A minus. Right? But the mice, again, you're doing great. And what the Mechaber is saying, and the guy who's dead on the inside, oh, I don't care how you feel on the inside. Get the job done. Do the mitzvahs. Go through the motions. Be a good soldier. And the Mechaber says, leaving aside Tzchar V'Onish right now, the second guy is in a lot more trouble. The first guy knows his deficiency, he knows his weakness. But to be dead on the inside, to feel nothing, to never feel the fire of Yiddishkeit burn inside of you, to never feel alive, consumed by a love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a love for Torah, a love for Mitzvah, a love for your fellow Jew, if I'm not feeling that, the first step is acknowledging that there's something wrong. And that something may not just be a behavior, that something may be a derech, may be an approach to life, may be a lifestyle, may be an entire framework. So I have to stop over here. Meretz Hashem, we'll continue with this next week. So we'll have the Chabur and Meretz Hashem for the next couple of weeks. For sure, next week and the week before Rosh Hashanah, hopefully during Aseret Yemei Teshuvah as well, but we'll put it out on the WhatsApp. Shkoyach, I was saying.